Well, rather than, can you hear me out there?
Good.
Rather than blaming my own stupidity, I'm going to take the American way and I'm going to blame it on somebody. Mike, you're the guy. Last week, Mike gave me some remedies for my shoulder, and it worked. And so, because I had energy and my shoulder back, I was digging a hole, and I fell into the hole, and I stepped on a nice spike, and I got infection. And so thank you, Mike. That's good here to be here. Before we open in our study, let us just open in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we again thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for the blessings and all that we have in Christ Jesus, the one who made it possible for us to be here, to glorify thy name, to lift him up to his rightful position as the preeminent one, the one who sits on that throne at your right hand. We thank you, Father, that we have him there to make intercession for us, the one who went to Calvary to bear our sins. So we pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit of God would help with this message, that it would not be the speaker, but a message from yourself, and that the messenger would not take any glory but give all glory to Christ. And so we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I was developing a message for a friend of mine who supposedly was going to die but didn't, and I thank the Lord for that. Things are looking good, Mike. Twist. This one? Okay, we're good. And this was a verse that these friends of ours had in their living room from years to years to remember it well. Big sign on their wall as you enter their house. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And it was a motto of his life. And certainly the way he lived it, he proved it. Another brother recently said to me that we are not to be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. I took offense to that. And I said to him, I said, I think that's exactly what the Bible wants us to be. We should be heavenly minded so that we are no earthly good. And so I'm going to try to explain that from the scriptures and prove it according to what the Word of God says and not my opinion. Sometimes we have cliches that we use and we don't always understand them and we use them incorrectly. And so it's something that has always bothered me when people bring these things to my attention. And I find that this statement goes really contrary to God's Word, especially in light of the verse we just read from Matthew 6:33. So seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And I have some questions as to this. Should we as Christians settle in the world with its ambitions, desires, comforts, and pleasures? That's a question. Should we be heavenly minded? Should we be earthly people? We examine these questions in the light of God's Word and not according to our subjective opinions. I was speaking to a brother last night who goes to a different church, but he was saying that in speaking with a lot of people, it's always about their opinions of what the church should be like, rather than what the Word of God says. And I think we here at Bethany Gospel Chapel try to maintain the fact that Christ is the head of this church, that He is the preeminent one, that He should get all the glory, and that the Word of God is our final authority on all matters. First of all, let me be clear that I'm speaking to those who are saved and born again, believers in Jesus Christ. And those who are outside of the realms of saving faith, let me strongly urge to you this morning that you are in a very dangerous position in the sight of God. Too many times we have known people who are young and have suddenly died or got killed. We don't know how long we have on this earth, never given to us. So one who is unsaved is in a very, very precarious and dangerous position before God. And I've told you that story of my uncle many times, who I went to and told him about the Lord Jesus. And his response was, "Bobby, you have your way, and I have mine. God would never be unfair to me because I'm a good man." And that was his rejection. And I don't know if he's in heaven today. I doubt it, because I was never able to see him on his deathbed. My aunt would never let me go see him, because that upset him when I talked to him. So we have opportunities, but those who are outside the realm of being saved, like I say, and I repeat, are in a very dangerous position. The Gospel of John very clearly says, "He that believeth not is condemned already." It's a present state. You are already in a state of condemnation. There is no hope. There is no way to escape condemnation of God. So, those of you who are not saved, this message isn't directly for you. This is for those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Question 3 says, how should we as Christians, or back to the 3 question, how should we Christians settle into the world? Number 2 was, should we be heavenly minded, and should we be earthly minded? 2 and 3 are answered in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. It says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things above, not on the things of earth." I don't think it could be really more clear about where we should be having our affections and where our seeking should lie. Seek those things which are above. Why? Because that's where Christ is, and He is seated on the right hand of God. There are those here this morning that who are getting baptized in a couple of weeks. And sometimes we think that baptism is some kind of a ritual or even a ceremony. Let me be very clear that it is neither of those two things. What is baptism? It is a testimony. And the first part of that testimony is that you are proclaiming that you are born again, that you are saved by the Spirit of God. And those of you who have been confronted by those rulers in this assembly have stated the fact that you are saved. And we go by that testimony because you have confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the first thing. The second thing is that you're a testimony to those people that are going to be witnesses that day here at the baptism. What you are telling the people in this audience when you go into those waters of baptism, that not only are you born again, but that you are willing to follow him in death and resurrection of life. It's a testimony, neither a ritual nor a ceremony, but very important. It has no effect other than the fact that you are telling the world, I'm done with my old life, and I'm going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And it fits in perfectly with that verse. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. When you come out of those waters of baptism, you're telling not only the Lord Jesus Christ, but you're telling everybody there that you are going to follow Christ, that you're going to seek his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Turn to Romans chapter 6. This applies to not just for those who are going into the waters of baptism, but for all of us. Starting with verse 1, what should we say then? Shall we continue in sin? You see, baptism is a point in time when you say to the world, no to sin, and you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we, that are dead to sin, live any longer therein? You see, the waters of baptism is symbolic of saying that you are dead. You've died to the old life, and that you're living now unto Christ. And we live for Christ. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in the newness of life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you have noticed, there was a word that keeps popping up in Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Colossians 3:1. If then ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. And 1 John 2:5 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. The word is things. A lot of people think that the things pertain to this world, but they don't. When the Bible talks about seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, what are we talking about? We're talking about spiritual things. Too many of today's preachers want to bring it down to earth. They want to talk about the blessings that you're going to receive if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to talk about health. They're going to talk about wealth. And that everything will be good. You get a better job, and they promise everything. Those are not the things that are being talked about here in these three verses. All these things shall be added unto you. Seek those things which are above, not to seek those things that are below, neither the things that are in the world. So I think it answers the questions, doesn't it, about where should our thinking be? It should be on heavenly things or on earthly things. The Bible is very clear. Seek those things that are above. And love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. So the things of this earth are temporary anyway. We all have to have certain things to live by. But to be obsessed with things is what the Bible is trying to say. Don't be so obsessed with a certain thing on this earth that you can't let go of it. We let go of all things because eventually, when we die, they're all going to be left behind anyway. And our focus is not here in this earth and the things that we have and the things we like to do. It's about the things that are above. So one of my friends said that we're so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. I really thanked him, because really we don't want to be too earthly good, do we? You know, but there's the flesh within us that wants that recognition for something in the life. I would rather have the recognition of God that I have sought to seek after the kingdom, his kingdom, and his righteousness, rather than seeking after those things that apply to this earthly, the earthly things here. Psalm 16:11 says, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. See, the pleasures of this world are very temporary, aren't they? But what does it say about those things that are above? It says there's pleasures forevermore. That's a guarantee, because God has said it, and when God makes a promise, he fulfills his promises. Pleasures forevermore. So if we're seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, certainly within his kingdom are pleasures. I've heard two people say, well, I'm going to be bored when I get to heaven. Believe me, you're not going to be bored, because you're going to have pleasures that are going to be so fantastic, beyond our scope of comprehension, that you will be overwhelmed with joy. Unspeakable joy. Believe me, friends, don't go the worldly route of thinking that, oh, I'm going to get, when I go to heaven, I'm just going to sit around and fly on clouds and do nothing. That's the world's, that's the earthly mind, not the spiritual mind. Seek those things that are above, not on things that are below. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Where are we seeking the things from? We're seeking those things that are above. And what happens? We're blessed by it. When you think about heaven, our heavenly things and responsibilities that we will have, and the joy that we'll have, and the pleasures that we'll have, we're going to be blessed. And no matter what the circumstances you are going through here on this earth are small in comparison. They weigh us down, don't they? It's like an anchor tied to our foot, or like a pair of crutches. But we have to take our mind off the things of this earth. Brothers and sisters, I believe the time is short. A friend of mine told me that the other day. He says, I don't think we have much time left in this earth. And he's 78 years old. Maybe he's talking about his own time, but I think he's right. I think that the Lord will be coming very soon and shortly. And are we ready? Have we settled the accounts here on this earth? Have we said, I don't care about any of this junk, because that's really what it is, because it's going to be gone. So he's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's the key now to this whole thing. The whole thing is about Christ. Chain to Ephesians chapter 2. Starting with verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are we saved. And hath raised us up together. There's the baptism. Okay, when you're going into the waters of baptism, it's a symbolic showing of you have been saved, that you have been dead to sin, and if you have been raised with Christ. And where does it says? Quickens us together with Christ and hath raised us up together with Christ, raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. See, that's our position the moment that we're saved. We're no longer earthly people. We are actually heavenly people. What I am looking at now, I'm looking at a bunch of flesh. But there's also the spiritual body of Christ here amongst us. Every one of you are saved. You are part of the body of Christ. And that you, in the eyes of God, are in the very presence of God, seated with Christ. The Bible says that we're in Christ. If we're in Christ, that means that where he's seated, we're there with him. It's an amazing fact. It's just not something that I'm conjuring up. This is what the Bible says. In his eyes, that's where we're at. Why does the Bible say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Because that's where we're seated. That's where we belong. That's where he wants us. Too often we want what's in this world. The problems and the difficulties and the struggles and the work and whatever it is that drags us down, we have lost our focus. We have lost our vision of the heavenly things that is so important to the Lord. My wife has always told us that it's us that get in the way of God's moving us in the right direction. We are God's hindrances many times of where he wants us. The things of earth will go strangely dim. Remember that song? Is that what's happening in our everyday lives as believers? Are the things of this earth growing strangely dim? Is the things of heavenly things becoming more clear? Is your love for the Lord Jesus Christ growing more and more because we're seated with him in the heavenlies? You know, when the Bible tells us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, we realize, as King Solomon did. What did he say in Ecclesiastes? All is vanity. That word, vanity, what does it mean? Worthless? Has no real value? Hollowness? Empty. All that defines what vanity is. And Solomon said, all is vanity. Now you say, that's a strange word. It's coming from a man who had everything. You know? He had numerous wives. He had the wealth that's beyond comprehension. But yet, this is what he said. He realized that everything in this life is just vanity. That's where we should be when it comes to our walk and our faith. Therefore, when one seeks the things of the earth, we as Christians should not take lightly our possessions, we should take lightly our possessions, knowing that the scriptures will tell us that the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And one might say, how do I know what God's will is? Well, let's begin back to the beginning. The will of God is to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. We only discussed the small things about heavenly things. It's interesting because when I was looking up certain words in the concordance, you know, just the word righteousness and the things that are explained about the righteousness of God and our righteousness and all those things that pertain to heavenly things. It's just amazing how much there is concerning that. And we find that when we talk about not only the kingdom and his righteousness, we have to understand when it talks about seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, we are talking about Jesus Christ. John 2:1, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Jesus Christ, the righteous. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So when we're seeking after his righteousness, we're actually seeking after Christ. Anytime you see the word righteous or righteousness, it's actually explaining Christ. Because he is the only righteous one. God is a righteous God. And God came to this earth, died on a cross, to make you righteous. That's amazing. That's what the new creation is all about, isn't it? Because Christ died for our sins to make us like himself, righteous. And yet the Bible says that we are to seek his righteousness. So we seek the Lord Jesus Christ because he is the righteous one. He is the only righteous one who ever lived as a man. And when we understand that Jesus Christ is righteous and the righteous one, then we can begin to understand the righteousness of God that we seek after. Psalm 119 says this in verse 137, righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. The word upright in the Hebrew is yasher, and it relates to man. So when we read that verse, it says, righteous art thou, O Lord, speaking of who God is. He's a righteous God. And then it says, and upright. And you can use righteousness then there, because in the Hebrew word it has two meanings for righteousness, and this is just one of them. But that righteousness refers to man. So when it refers to man, first of all, it tells us about God is righteous, and so when he's going to deal with man, he's dealing with man according to his upright judgments or righteous judgments. That's how he deals with man. And even Job said in Job 9:1, he says, How should man be just? How should man be just or righteous? If we were born in sin, obviously we don't have any righteousness of our own. We were born sinners. God cannot sin. He can't look upon sin. And yet the Bible says that these are righteous judge, and he's righteous in his character. And so man says, how can I, be just? Or how can I be righteous with God? Turn to Romans chapter 4. And here lies the answer as we conclude. Starting with verse 3, But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. I want you to see that very clearly. But believeth on him that justified the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Faith in God makes us righteous. We'll continue. Even David has also described the blessedness of man to whom God imputes righteousness without works. So God has every right because he is a just God, he's a righteous God, and an upright in his judgments can impute righteousness to man. On the basis of what? Faith. Faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's as simple as that. Saying, yes, there is a God. Yes, that I'm a sinner. And yes, that I know my destination is condemnation according to the word of God. But God can impute his righteousness to you. But we're not done. Saying, blessed are those whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So how does he do that? He can impute righteousness, and then he can also say, iniquities are forgiven and sins are covered. There had to be something in between that happened. God's Son died on a cross for the sins of the world. There where sin, every sin of the world, was judged by God the Father in His Son. His righteousness, Jesus Christ is the righteous one, and yet He took your sin and my sin in His own body, and it was judged by the Father so that God could impute righteousness. How? Simply by faith. If you believe that in your heart, that Christ died for your sins, that you are a sinner, then God can say, I will impute my righteousness to you, and I will not impute sin to you. When you come before the throne of God, there's no sin because He has imputed the sin away. He's taken it away. He puts righteousness in there, but He takes the sin away. What a God we have. You have any God other than our God, He's not God. Because only God can take away sin. And He did it through His Son. Over to verse 13, please. For the promise that we should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. But because the law worketh wrath, for there where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. To the end of the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to the only which is of the law, but to those also which are the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. You see, by faith, we can be of Abraham's seed. You see that? Because Abraham's righteousness was by faith. And so we are the father of Abraham, not in the flesh, but in the spiritual realm. When you're born again, because we have believed by faith, then we come into the righteousness just as Abraham did. Through his faith. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him he believed, whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he may become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was old, about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Abraham was what? 100 years old. Sarah was 90 years old. And he was promised a seed. It was an impossibility. Couldn't be done. But because of faith, he had a child. You know, it's our faith. And it seems like an impossibility. You know, oh, look at me. You know, look at what kind of a person I am. God will never accept. But that's exactly what God wants. He wants those kind of people that we are. He wants sinners. He doesn't want the good people. Because they're not really good. Those people who think they're good are not good because of God's word that says that our goodness is as filthy rags. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. There's none good, no, not one. And let us continue. And being fully persuaded that he had promised he was able to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Here we have that word imputed again. And righteousness was given to him. So he became a righteous-based person because of his faith. Now, it was not written for his sake alone. It was imputed to him, that it was imputed to him, but for us also. Becomes more personal, doesn't it now? To whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Here we go back to the baptism. We were baptized into Christ at salvation. You see, there's only one baptism. When you're saved, you died to the old life, and you were raised anew to the new life in Christ. The baptism that you go through here in the waters are a testimony to what you have experienced when you were saved, when you were born again. And they're a testimony to the world and to God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Remember the things. Very important word there. Things. What things? Not the earthly things. Heavenly things. Let's close. Our Father, we again thank you for this day. We thank you for your word that reminds us to seek those things that are above, not on the things that are below. They're all temporary, Lord. We realize that we are here on earth for just a short period of time, and we pray that we might be of use, that we would not be hindering you in the way that you are going to lead us and guide us in this life. And help us, Father, to glorify your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in all that we do and say, knowing that we will give an account for everything here done either good or bad. And so, Father, we just pray that you would lead us and guide us through this week, and that we might come back and meet with thee again to give you honor and glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.